Hey, if you've ever been to an intentional living marriage conference somewhere around the country, you've heard me talk about head, heart, and hand people. Some of us are head people. That's me. You know, I'm logical, bottom line. Don't fill in all the blanks. Just give me the bottom line, then we'll back up and fill in the blanks. And sometimes a head person, if you're a head type person, you know who you are, you can raise your hand there, can get married to a heart person where they really operate more out of their emotions. And sometimes that can create some dynamics in a marriage relationship. And then, of course, a hand person is the person who says, quit talking, get it done, and works with checklists. I tell you what, today we're going to marry these things because, you know, the fact is God created us with all three of these. We got a head, a heart, and hands, right? We've been created with our mind to think, bottom line, also our heart. They often, you know, involves our emotions and the passions that we have in our life to keep us going. And then ultimately, those things should help be the fuel to break inertia so we can get things done in life to bring glory to God and certainly benefit to ourselves and our family. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. Andrew's running the show today along with Stephen and Gino. Thank you for being a part of the show. And I'm really pleased to be able to introduce a very special friend of mine, a colleague in terms of his work with people. Dr. Todd Linneman, he is the founder of Relational Advantage. He works with people here and all around the world, literally, and helping them do this very thing to regulate their thinking and their emotions for God's glory. He's a psychologist, a dad, a grandpa. What'd you say, number eight?
Number eight's on the way.
On the way. Yes. You'll catch up with Don and me with eight.
Yeah.
Good for you. So welcome, Todd. Thank you for taking time to be here today.
It's always my pleasure, Randy. Thank you.
All right. We want to jump into this thing about head, heart, and hand, which you really talk about, you know, reasonable mind, an emotional mind, and a wise mind. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's set it up. I've got so many people who leave comments and questions with me. Let me share one. Here's Priscilla in California, or in Arizona, and she just got a question about this, trying to make a decision and how that's impacting her mind and their thinking. So let's listen to this, and we're going to come back and see if we can help each of us get into a position in our life where we can put together our head, heart, and hand for God's glory. By the way, if you have a question today, this is a great time to call. Maybe you're married to someone who struggles with their emotions, and you're more of a head person, or maybe you're struggling in your own life, and you want to ask a question of an expert on this topic, Dr. Todd Linneman. It's for you right now. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Priscilla. I am going through a little indecisive dilemma. I live with my mom, my husband, and I, and my kids, and she's currently receiving unemployment, and we've been thinking about purchasing our own home now, but we don't know if she's returning back to work for sure or not. So we don't know whether to move forward with the home purchasing or, you know, continue and, you know, staying at home with her. I know that this could be a big step for my family, but we're just kind of stuck. So if you can help us in a little word of advice, that would help.
All right. That's sort of a setup, I think, Todd. I mean, because ultimately we talk about our mind and decisions and they kind of go hand in hand. Talk about what Priscilla might be going through when it comes to balancing her head, you know, the thinking and her heart in terms of her emotion of obviously wanting to do the right thing for her family and her mom.
Yes. You know, whenever we have a decision that involves other people, we can pretty much guarantee for most of us that emotion is going to be involved. Values are going to be involved. And, you know, the reality is there are things we cannot control in life. And she's talking about the fact that her mom may or may not stay with them for a certain period of time. And their decision as to whether or not to buy a house is, you know, kind of hinging upon that. That's a tough one because you have to deal with that uncertainty and not having all the facts in order to make a reasonable decision. I think what's most important in that kind of situation is you wait until you have the facts. If they're committed to the mom to provide housing for her until such time she may go back to her own home, they do one of two things. They say it's going to be contingent upon hearing from the doctor or whatever the circumstances are that allow you to go back home, or our decision in terms of saying, Mom, you can stay till the end of October. You can stay till the end of November, because we are about to put an offer in on a house and that's not going to accommodate you at that time. So that's the dilemma. And unless you're willing to make a choice that involves saying, these are the conditions we're going to base our decision on, you're going to flounder and you're going to be uncertain. And yeah, that's what creates that confusion and the indecision ultimately.
And as we think about this, you know, the Bible tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Thinking, there's a lot. Take captive every thought of obedience to Christ. Paul talks about whatever's true, right, admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things, Philippians 4:8. And so our minds are a big thing. And of course, isn't much of what you do in your counseling work with people really come back to faulty thinking?
It certainly does. Bad decision-making is typically a byproduct of faulty thinking. If we're in our emotional state, in our mood state that's emotionally driven, we are likely, especially if they are intense emotions, we are likely entertaining thoughts that are irrational, unreasonable, inconsistent with facts and logic. And the problem is that we reason emotionally. If I feel this way, it must be true. Therefore, I can't do it. And so when we're faced with a decision, we've got to first and foremost say, how much emotion is involved? What are my values? What are the emotions involved? I just recently met with a woman that is trying to set, you know, reasonable expectations and boundaries for her father. And she is saying, if I don't give him what he wants, essentially, that makes me a bad daughter. And I said, and what does that feel like? Well, I feel guilty. I feel shame. I feel, you know, sad. And I'm saying, yeah, those are all legitimate emotions God gave you, but they come from an irrational thought process. Setting a boundary with your father, especially if it's in alignment with your husband and you've given prayer to the issue, that does not in any way make you a bad daughter. But it's hard to convince yourself of that.
Yeah, because she's feeling that.
She's feeling that. She's emotionally reasoning, which gets us in trouble every single time. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it, as it says in Scripture. So we want to listen to our emotion, but we also have to be willing to do cost-benefit analysis, pro-con analysis, in other words. We've got to be willing to list out the facts, the logic, the reason, and then incorporate or integrate the reason as well as the emotion so that we can include, number one, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not emotionally flooded or overtaken by emotion that it cannot regulate. It includes the emotion, the values, intuition, but it combines it or integrates it nicely with the facts. For example, if we need to be out of our house by a certain amount of time and into a new house that Mom is not going to be able to live in, we got to take seriously that fact and integrate that with the feelings we're feeling in terms of obligation, guilt, et cetera.
All right. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. I want to open the phone lines. If you want to join us, maybe you have a question for Dr. Linneman today. Maybe you're trying to make a decision or you've made a poor decision. You just want to say, hey, I've made a bad decision. Help me process how I can make better decisions. That's really what we're talking about. Decisions impact your life. That's what intentional living is about. First step of intentional living is making the right decision. And if you want to join us with a question or comment, you can. 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. After break, we've got a lady from West Virginia who just flat out admits, I've made a series of really bad decisions. And it's damaged my life. And I want you to analyze what you hear, Todd, and help people who are maybe thinking that same way make better decisions for themselves. Don't go away.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, Asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, you know, this is a very important month coming up as we move into September. It's part of our funding need. We'll have some emphasis in September. And I just want you to know right now what you do is making a huge difference. And I thank you for being involved in the ministry. And when you come to the website, you can find out more about the ministry, how to fund Intentional Living, how to be a part of the team, and get access to all of our exclusive teaching for you. What do? Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717.
Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl. I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. I'm calling because I have listened to Family Life Radio for some time now. About 3 months ago, I accepted Christ in my life after being of a different denomination. So I had to make some intentional choices. But I had to make choices in my life that do I continue an unhealthy relationship, or do I make an intentional decision to follow and have an intimate relationship with Christ? And what I have chose to do is develop a relationship with Christ. And to have that, by listening to the radio and listening to Dr. Carlson and to listening to other support and ministries from Family Life, such as Lori Allen, I have been able to make some great choices and some great leaps and changes. But the choices I've made is intentionally to follow Christ. For that, I am so incredibly grateful, incredibly humbled that I have a Savior that loves me unconditionally and that I have made the choices that I made so I can develop and grow in the ministry of Christ. Thank you for this example, and thank you for helping me make these decisions. God bless. Goodbye.
You're very welcome. Thank you for sharing that. Before we get to the Jennifer, who just admits she made so many poor decisions, respond to what you just heard, Todd. By the way, Dr. Todd Linneman is here. We're talking about really decision making and the various parts of our mind, what you refer to as the reasonable mind, mm-hmm. which is really the analytical kind of thinking through executive processing stuff going on, and then the emotional mind, where we can, and which is interesting. You always think of emotions as sort of out there, not up here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you're pointing out, we can make decisions that are emotional. We're making them up here, mm-hmm. but they're coming from someplace else, aren't they?
That's right. Well, in Proverbs 23, it says, as a person, man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it is, you know, the amalgamation of thoughts, logical thoughts, hopefully facts, and emotion. And so that's exactly what we want to be able to do in terms of making important decisions. Combine the logic, the reason, balanced thinking, as well as the emotions, values, and intuition that we feel.
Well, and as we heard that spot, this is one of our listeners who said, I gave my life to Christ, and it helped clarify how I make decisions. How does a Christian make a decision? Todd, if someone's sitting in front of you, and if you were to say, hey, here's three things or two things you got to really be aware of when you make a decision, what would you say?
Well, for the believer, I think it's imperative that the first thing they do is commit that decision to God and say, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit, first and foremost. That's what exercising our faith is really about in large part. I think second of all, if they're not married and they're making the decision on their own, they do need to be willing to seek advice if it's a major decision. And seeking advice allows us oftentimes to get the objective facts, the figures if necessary, the information, the practical knowledge that we need to acquire, so that we can then combine that with our mood, our emotions, our impulses. That's why the emotional mind gets us in trouble. If we don't listen to the reasonable mind, is because we will impulsively act on those emotions. And so we need to say, well, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, but I'm not feeling it so intense that it's controlling me. No. And typically, if somebody goes to get counsel and they hear facts, they hear logic, they hear reason, they hear good rationale, and they push back on it, it's a telltale sign that their emotional mind is pushing back on it. They're not hearing what they want to hear. They want to give in to the mood, the emotions, the urges or impulses. And that's a red flag.
And you talk about you're really talking about the wise mind, as you refer to it here. It's the marriage of these two for God's glory, basically.
That's right.
You're talking about.
That's right.
I want you to hear this because God bless you, Jennifer, for sharing this from West Virginia on our storyline. But she just flat out just talks about being, she didn't use that word, but she really is, she was an emotional mind person. She made these decisions emotionally, I think, that impacted her. By the way, the phone line's open. We'll get to your calls in a moment. If you want to join us, you have a question for Dr. Lindemann or a comment, 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I've made poor decisions throughout my entire life. I made poor choices of the company I kept. I got married at 19 to somebody who, you know, just to escape my home life, and I was broken for a long time. I made bad decisions, but I found the Lord found me, I should say, in that mess and helped me to regain my life. I've been sober now for 3 years, and I was homeless for about 4 years off and on. God just reached down, and he's taken those bad decisions and used them to teach me to make better decisions. And so God has restored my relationship with my boys and with my daughter, and he's just a wonderful father. I just told him I'm sorry for the choices I've made, and he just keeps on carrying me and teaching me how to make better decisions through the bad decisions that I've made. I just wanted to share that and encourage somebody, hopefully, that's struggling with addiction, that God restores and that God is good. And I never knew how to make good decisions as a kid. I was never had any boundaries or anything, and so God has shaped and molded me, and through my bad choices, he's taught me what it means to be his child, and he's teaching me how to see myself as his child so that I can carry that identity as a child of God. I don't make those same decisions because I don't want to disappoint my heavenly father.
You know, she said something there I thought was really profound. I never learned to make good decisions. I was never taught how to make decisions, which brings up how should parents be more actively engaged in helping their kids learn to make decisions?
Well, modeling is extremely important when it comes to learning. 89% of everything a child learns stems from modeling, and that is true for decision-making as well. So when parents have decisions to make, or the children need to make decisions, you know, who are you going to play with this afternoon? You need to do that in an overt, intentional fashion. You need to go through the process of asking, you know, what are the facts here? What's logical? Of course, on an age-appropriate level. And also, how are you feeling about that? And what thoughts are influencing your feelings right now? So, yes, they need to engage their children in decision-making for themselves, help them to see how they're making that decision, and they need to include the children sometimes, especially as they get older, in adult decision-making. So that modeling can go a long way.
I know parents listening must be concerned when they see, especially maybe their teenagers, making bad decisions, understanding that their brains are not fully hardened yet. They're going to harden up. So it's easy to overreact, but at the same time, when you get into like a teenage and you got a teenager just making bad decisions one after another, and they're really concerned about that, and they're trying to teach, and yet the kid keeps making bad decisions. Where does discipline come into that?
Well, discipline involves the consequence, natural and logical consequences that get your child's attention. You know, we're often driven as humans by pleasure or pain. Those are our two motivators. And there are times when we need to strategically introduce pain into the life of our child. And it's that pain that hopefully will get their attention and help them to draw the conclusion that says, you know, if I do this, then I experience that. And I don't want that. That's critically important. It's holding them accountable, giving them an appropriate consequence, and allowing them to suffer pain. And unfortunately, and this is a whole different topic, but unfortunately, as parents, many times we don't want our kids to experience that pain. But may I comment briefly on Jennifer real quickly?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when we're in the emotional brain, that's mood. It means it's mood dependent. And let me give credit where credit's due. Marshall Linehan in 1993 developed a form of therapy called dialectical behavior therapy. And this is where the concept of integrating the reasonable mind, the emotional mind into the wise mind comes from. So I just want to go on record with that. But what Jennifer's saying is that she has struggled with a mood issue her whole life. Her mood has fluctuated. It's been up and down. My guess is she suffered from depression, from anxiety, maybe from anger. And those emotions, I often tell couples that I work with, if your emotional elevator that goes from floor 1 to floor 10 isn't primarily between 1 and 3, those three floors, you're not likely to make good decisions. You're not likely to have constructive conflict. If it goes to level 4 and above, all bets are off. So that's when we don't make decisions. Yeah. But when we're in a mood, chronic depression or anxiety, that's what governs decision making. Because we want pleasure. We want to get away from the pain. And so we give in to the impulses that say, you know, if you do this, you'll probably feel better. Mm-hmm. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll feel emotionally better, physically better. So, wow, we run into the trap. So Jennifer probably came by it naturally. She is mood dependent. And anyone that suffers with mental illness is much more prone to fall into making decisions while in the emotional mind. That's why it's so insidious at times in terms of the consequences. So one of the things that we as individuals need to do, whether we're, you know, majorly depressed or anxious or just angry, I shouldn't say just angry, but angry too, we need to learn how to soothe ourselves to the point of being able to de-escalate, come down the elevator from floor 8 or 7 to lower the floors, you know, 3, 2, and 1. And we need to learn how to identify when, yeah, we are at level 1. Therefore, I am now in a position to make a decision. If I'm not on floors 1, 2, or 3, I ought not to even consider a decision in that state.
Yeah. Question, after the break, what does a first floor person do when they're married to a 10th floor mate? All right. And they want to be loving and kind, and yet they're going crazy with, I don't know what floor they're on today. Let's take a break. By the way, callers, hang on. We'll get to you as well. Love to have you join us. Phone line's open. You got a question for Dr. Linehan. We're going to stay here for the whole hour. So even when we go off here live in a few minutes, we'll continue to take your calls at 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. My name is Juan, and I've been hearing your program, and it's been really helping me. I am going through a separation, possible divorce. I've been taking the challenges that you've been saying on the radio, and before I even turn on the TV to watch the weather or sports, I get on my knees and pray and fall asleep praying. These last couple of weeks, the Lord has been opening doors for a new job, and I believe that the Lord's showing me things that He's with me. He says that He will show you things, big things and impossible, for those that trust in Him, and I believe that the Lord's telling me that He's going to work through this marriage. I just ask you to keep my wife, Veronica, in prayer, and I want to support your ministry, and I did it, and I really bless God for your ministry, and I pray that God use you to help others. God bless you, and we'll be supporting you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for praying for us, allowing us to get out this message of hope and how to live an intentional life in Christ that we're talking about. You join us, you can go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 is the phone number. We're talking about our mind, about our thinking. I refer to it as head, heart, and hand. You know, some of us are more head people, we're logical, bottom line, analytical. Maybe you're always on the first floor. Your spouse may be saying, no, he's in the basement. He didn't even get to the first floor when it comes to emotion. And maybe you're married to a person. And of course, I made that sound sexist, didn't I? I said the guy's in the basement and right. And it could be the other way around.
It sure can.
But you're married to a person who's going up and down those floors emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that raises the question, what do you do if you get all this, but you're thinking my spouse needs to get this and they're not listening today?
Well, I tell you, it's an important concept to learn. And that's what oftentimes creates destructive conflicts in relationships. One person, and it could be both person in people, and usually it is. Both people are at a level 5, 6, 7 or higher, and they can't reason together. their emotions are so intense that they are impulsively giving in to whatever comes to mind. And sometimes it's a very derogatory comment. It could be any number of things. But the key is recognizing what's happening and what the enemy of your marriage is in that, or relationship is in that moment. And the enemy is unregulated emotions. So one of the first things I encourage couples to recognize is their emotional levels. And many people have never done that. They just always run at a 5 or a 6 or 7, and they've acclimated to it or habituated to it, and they just see it as normal. And so I help them understand, no, that is not what's in your best interest. We need to bring it down. And so we teach them how to recognize it and how to bring it down, how to get below a level 3, for example. And when couples are interacting, what I often share with them is, if you believe you or your partner has gone to level 4 or higher, you need to come up with a code word to call a timeout. And that message is that you're sending is, we need to take a break. I love you. I care about you. I will be back. I hope you will be back. We'll start again, but only when our elevator is on the first 3 floors. Otherwise, we're going to dig a deeper hole in this relationship that is unnecessary. And that's a process, not an event, but it's really important to begin understanding.
And I think it's also important to recognize that if you tend to be the reasonable mind person, is it possible you can just be too reasonable all the time?
It is. And that's one of the things that will cause another person who's more emotional to escalate. They're just too rational. They're like Spock from Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it drives their spouse nuts. And so, yes, absolutely. You've got to deal with that as
all
well.
Right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. You're available for another 30 minutes, Todd?
Absolutely.
We're going to go off the air live here, but we're going to leave the phone line open. We're going to get to your calls, those of you on the phone. Hang on, Dawn and Justice and others. We'll get to you. If you have a question for Dr. Linneman, maybe about this thing in terms of marriage, maybe you find that you're the reasonable mind, your spouse isn't, and or vice versa, and you want some help, it's here for you. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Right now, 888-888-1717. And on the next show, when we record, we're going to talk a little more about that. One's not better than the other. You're really talking about marrying these two because God gave us both a reasonable mind and an emotional mind. And how do we marry that? We'll talk about how do we do that a little more in the next show, which, by the way, will air. We're going to record it, and it's going to air on Labor Day, on Monday. And so you can get a chance to listen to it. All right. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Dr. Todd Linneman from our Intentional Living Center. Thank you for your prayers and support. Intentional Living is here every day, and it's a ministry of Intentional Life Media.